Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To you, okay, there you go. Now I'll send you the basketball thing when you ask for the recording and I forget to send it to you. Okay,
all right, you ready?
I am.
Let's all right go. So grade reports, how do you do you use it throughout the season, and B, what is your stick for not getting you the grade report, or with a carrot for that matter?
Well, they can't play according to our athletic code if they don't have they do a Tuesday report if they're not passing something.
Tuesday report.
Yep.
Tuesday.
They had so let's say it's a Tuesday and they bring it to me and they're not passing something. They have a week to be passing.
Okay.
And then if they're passing then they're eligible. So they're eligible during that week because like we should give them a chance to fix it, right? The point is to be or whatever percentage it is. So ineligible, they are not passing. They got a week to be passing. If they're passing, then they're eligible until future notice. And then, so they literally could go every other week. I've never had that happen, but they could go F, then passing, then F, then passing, then F. That could happen in theory. It never happened in my 30 years of coaching. And sometimes they can't get it passing in a week. So then they sit and they sit until they're get it passing.
So
once they become ineligible on a Tuesday report, they're ineligible until they're passing that grade, that class.
So even though, okay, what if you have a player who has three A's and one F? They have to be passing everything is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Okay. So if this is my 6'5" guy who I've been asking for grade reports and he's always got two not passings and two passings. That dude's going to sit. Does he even practice?
Yeah, he can practice.
But he ain't playing in games. Okay, but what if, how do you hold that to him when first practice is November 6th and the first game is till November 30th? You've got 3 weeks in between.
Yep, and if you're passing in the 30th, you can play.
Ah, okay.
That's my theory. I mean, the point of it is I want you to pass and know the material and learn something. I'm not punishing you. I mean, I am, but I'm really not. It's like the point is to get you to be passing. So how can I help you pass?
Okay. And you require your, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean grade report. I meant Tuesday report.
Yep.
From all your players every Tuesday from the start.
Yep.
And if they're not passing one class, they're not going
to. They got a week
to fix it.
Yep.
If it's not, they're sitting the next game.
Yep. And
or
then
they're sitting until they.
Let's say they're failing. Let's say they're passing, and then 3 weeks later they're failing this class, and then the following week they're still failing it. That's fine. They're ineligible until they're passing. Maybe 2 weeks later they start passing it. Then they're eligible again.
Or you're not messing around.
No, I want them to. this is school based athletics,
education based athletics. Okay, so wow. Okay, I got to really think that through.
I would talk to your athletic director about it.
Oh no, no, no! He would be on board with you.
I mean, the point is, you should be. I mean, first of all, it's not that hard to pass in high school. Not that hard to pass. Oh my God. I'm not talking an A. I'm talking passing.
This is a major problem in our school with our athletes.
Well, then they're, well, yeah. Okay. So then that, yeah.
Okay.
So I got to fix that. Okay.
That might be a systemic problem, but yes.
No, no. I think our school is high performing for the kids that are into school, but for our athletes.
Right. But just... first of all, school's not for everybody. It's just not. First of all, the school waste. Well, anyway, this is a whole.
Different conversation.
Okay. 8-hour conversation about how school is wrong right now. But anyway.
Okay. Yeah. So I got you. You give them a week to fix it. They don't fix it. They sit. Okay.
Yep.
So there's the stick. There's no, the carrot is that you learn. Okay.
The carrot is you get to play.
You get to play. Yeah. There you go. Okay. Let's go on to the next one. Fundamental time. Okay. So something I've been doing in the off season, like I'm actually teaching my bigs fundamental moves. I talked to you about that already. Mm-hmm. Fundamental shooting post. How much of that do you do in your practice during the season?
Not a lot. More. I wish I could do more.
If I have 100,
like what fundamentals do they need that they don't have? Like obviously there's footwork stuff. There's stuff
drop within our, step,
there's, yeah, there's all sorts hook. Of that stuff that if they don't have it, you have to teach it and you have to get good at it.
Yeah.
But again, you have a limited time here.
Right. So it how is. Much time would you say you spent on fundamentals in your practices? A drop step, a basic move.
10, 15%.
Okay.
But they're learning those skills hopefully in other ways. So it might be higher than that, but.
Well, you're shooting. How much are you shooting in practice? What percent of your time?
Shooting is more probably.
I'm including fundamentals and shooting together. Or you're not. You're not.
20-25% maybe.
Okay. All right. Do you have your board again? Do you have your board?
I might. Hold on. Let me look.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a marker, though. Let me see. I think this one will work. Okay. Go ahead.
So I know we've done this before, but I have PTSD because we've gotten hurt before on this. But let's say you get a... between a 3-quarter and half court 1-2-2 trap on you, how are you setting? Are you doing a 1-4 to beat it?
So they're trapping like 1-2-2.
Yeah, but like maybe a little past the half court. Their front guys a little past the half court, and the other guys are a little bit farther up. Yeah, right there. So okay. how do you beat that?
That's what they do to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'd put two guards up front. I'd put two guards here, and I'd put one in the middle.
Done.
Moving in and out.
Can you bring up your board a little bit? Okay.
Now, you could. A 1-4 would work, but I don't. I think 3-quarter court, that's harder to do.
If you brought up your guy, wouldn't that be okay? You brought up your two guys at the
yeah. Yeah, these guys are gonna have problems. You could bring these. You could bring yeah. up and run a 2-3. That would be easy. Yep.
Yeah, that would kill it.
Because right? then one of these guys is gonna have to come up and defend him, or they're gonna yeah.
Okay, so the 1-4 set always wins against any of these half court traps. Yes. Okay, I wanted to. Just have PTSD.
Then what you're doing is you're teaching them to cut at that point, right? Cut to open areas. Cut to Yeah.
Okay.
They're gonna yeah.
All right. Let's go to funnel defense.
Okay.
All right. So I'm digging into the funnel defense now. My biggest issue that I see right now with the funnel defense, I need you to help me with this. You have very quick, fast point guards. Pinning them is not gonna be.
Yeah, but you gotta have help. So when you run the funnel, you gotta have. You're talking about them making this turn. So you're defending. You're worried about this.
Or the other way.
Or this way.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, if they go this way, then this guy's, that's his problem. He's not sitting. He's not doing EBF. He's not sitting on his ear. His butt should be to the opposite block. and his feet should be open more.
What do you mean, open more towards the baseline?
Yeah, pushing him. We want him to go this way. We're funneling him to the baseline.
Okay, open more. Ear, but where's the ear? I'm having trouble understanding where the ear is.
You're sitting on this ear. So let's imagine the guy is here.
Can you bring it up a little? I can't see it.
Here's the guy, right? Okay. You're sitting on this ear right here because you're pushing like the right ear. You're looking at him. You're sitting on this ear because you want him to go that way. So you're closing out on the ear. You're sitting on his ear.
Okay. He's on your right side. That's his left ear.
That's your head, left ear. Yep.
Yeah. Your head is right on his left ear.
You're sitting on his ear. Cause then you can close out. You can do all that stuff on it. Yes.
Okay.
And the thing is it's EBF, ear, butt, feet. Sit on his ear. Your butt should be the opposite low block and your feet. Now, if you're worried about him making the turn, then your feet have to be just shifted a little bit. But the key to this defense is this guy. He has to be a big enough threat that he can't feel like he can turn. It's the same. Like I'm not letting him go this way because I'm pushing him so much that direction. He can't go this way.
All right.
Because this guy is denying up here.
What about where are you picking him up? Are you picking him up at half court?
I'm picking him up at half. And then once he picks a side, I'm keeping him on the side.
Okay.
I pick up in the full a lot.
Okay.
But then I want him to go on the left more than the right, ideally. But I'm a realist and know that that doesn't happen. So what happens when it's on the right side? Well, I'm just going to funnel to that short corner.
So do you find it harder to using your funnel defense to pin from the full court pickup?
No, I just use the full court to harass. And then if I can push left, if it's a weaker guard that's bringing it up, then I'll just funnel them to the left. But yes, if you're really worried about it, run it half court, run it to quarter court.
Yeah, that's my biggest worry looking at this. I mean, I spent time on it yesterday is the guard, their point guard being so athletic and quick that he blows by my guy and there's no pinning.
Yeah. So I think the easiest way to do it is pick up at half court. That's easy.
But we could run full. Okay. All right. All right. Here's the next thing. I think I'm going to have my two big 6'7" and 6'5". To me, I don't see, and one of them is not, and we were talking about with my assistant, for us to run a five out read and react with those two bigs doesn't make sense for us this season. What would you recommend? I mean, I was thinking three out, two in, set screens for each other, just a basic.
Yeah, have that, but set. So what I would do is have rules for those two and rules for the other three.
Okay.
So that's what you should work on in the next week. Like, what are my rules for the bigs? Like, they can step to 15 feet. They can ball screen. They can cut to the basket. They can screen for each other. They can, like, whatever rules you want for them, and then rules for the other three.
Okay. Now, read and react. If one of them has grade issues and I can do the four out.
Yeah, then you just give them, he has one rule and the four have the other rule.
Okay, so we'll just do that. All right, let's talk about rebounding numbers. We played a team yesterday just in a scrimmage, fun scrimmage. They just killed us in transition. I yelled all game, get back. And these guys just didn't get it. By the end of the game, I said, one guy rebounds, all the rest of you guys go get back on offense. When we're on offense, the shot goes up, one of you rebounds, the four of you sprint back because they just couldn't get it. So my question to you is, what do you typically do on offense? What do you typically do on defense in terms of numbers and people rebounding?
The key to it is I don't worry about numbers. I just emphasize it.
So on defense, how many guys do you send to the glass when you're on defense?
On defense?
Yeah, when you're on defense.
Well, until we have the board, everyone's a rebounder.
You don't leak anybody?
Once in a while, we call it cheetah. And we'll send somebody on cheetah, but it's a call. Otherwise, we need the ball before we can run.
Because these guys were killing us. They would leak, and we just couldn't get back. I'm like, maybe we need to start doing that. Just send four guys. You,
I mean, I can see doing it. It's a good call. But then the problem is they might get an offensive rebound, an offensive rebound. And I mean, if you're sending one or two guys leaking, you only got three guys rebounding.
So you don't have a – you're basically – you're most of the time sending five guys to the boards on defense.
Defensive glass, yes.
Okay. And rare – and if you have a call cheetah, you'll do that. Okay.
Yes.
What do you do on offense when you're on offensive terms of rebounding? How many guys are sending the glass?
Going offense to the offensive glass?
Yeah. How many guys on offensive glass do you send?
3 to 4, depending on the team. I usually have one guy back. It depends on the team and how good we are at offensive rebounding. And again, I've told you my offensive rebounding rule. If you get it, you can shoot it. That's my rule. Like,
I haven't heard that rule. I don't think I ever heard that rule.
Yeah. So it gives them a bonus. Like if you get an offensive rebound, it's your ball. You can do whatever you want with it. I will never yell at you for the shot you take after an offensive rebound. You can throw it off the backboard. You can throw it to grandma in the third level. I don't care. Because it's a board that you went and earned. And I said, this is the way you become, you go from 10 points a game to 15. Easy. Two offensive rebounds and a foul. There you go. There's your 15 rather than 10.
So
you got to find, there's usually two or three guys on the team that can really offensive rebound well, usually.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you, you're sending three guys to the offensive boards or
four? At least three or four, depends on the team.
So if they're really good fast breaking team, you're only going to send three. If they're not that great, you're going to send four. Gotcha. All right. Let me see. All right. Okay. So I'm instituting the varsity funnel. Do you think we should do it on the JV too?
No.
Tell me why.
Because I don't think you'll be good enough at teaching it to the JV coach yet. So give it a year of you experimenting and working with it.
Okay. Okay. Good.
I'm just being honest. I mean,
no. Thank you. That's what I need from you. Always honesty. Always. Okay. All right. Here's the new thing. I have a nice new JV coach who played some college ball at Lakeland. Is Lakeland, Wisconsin?
He played Lakeland?
Yeah, he played a little at Lakeland, a little bit. Yeah. He graduated from Lakeland with computer science degree.
And what's he doing now?
He's working here. He played in the ABA. We have an ABA out here.
Okay. Yep.
Played a little ABA. This dude comes and he does like 360 degree dunks. He's a really good guy. He's a really good guy. He's really big on stretching. And that's my next question. Big on stretching. So he happened this morning, we did a little workout, our last workout before trials. And he's done that in the other like little workouts. We've had 15 minutes of stretching. Like it's dynamic.
I think that's great. Just it shouldn't take away from court time.
Oh no. Yeah. Dynamic stretching. He's like 15 minutes of dynamic stretching.
Love it.
And then 10 minutes of static stretching.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
And he's like,
you're going to have less injuries. You'll have less injuries.
That's exactly what he said.
He's right.
But do you do that? My question is, do you do that?
No. Should I? Yes. Do we? No. I mean, we don't do that well. But
I don't think we have the time for it.
You don't, but maybe you do if you doesn't take away from court time.
It's okay. I'll play with that one.
Play with it. So compromise. If he's taking 25, say, hey, you got to do this in 12.
No, I don't care what he does with the JV. He's my JV coach, but I let him do some of the stuff. You know, I'm trying to get my coaches.
Well, here's what you do. You have him teach all the stuff to your leaders and then have your leaders spend 5 minutes each day doing something different. That's easy.
5 minutes. Have them do 5 minutes of the stretch.
5 minutes, beginning of practice. Right when you come on the court, we'll do 5 minutes of dynamic every day. And then they get to decide what they do.
Okay, so three different days.
Yeah, three different days. Tell him to break it up. Give him an assignment. As a JV coach, I would love that. Say, here's your assignment. I want you to do this, this, and this. Break it up so my guys can do something different each day, blah, blah, blah.
5 minutes every day of dynamic, and then we can do the static after. Yep. No, this guy does 15. I'm like, look, I'm not going to do 15 minutes. I'll do 10.
Or 10, whatever it is.
What do you do? I want to know what you do.
We do probably 5 to 7, maybe early.
Before practice.
Mm-hmm. Before court time.
Okay. Those are my questions, man. When's your next? Yeah, no, I wanted to ask you, when's your next?
Sports Social Podcast Network.